Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie, and this is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Started the Mindy Project.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot how much I love that show, but I turned it on to go to sleep. And I was like, I closed my eyes and I'm listening to it. And all of a sudden I remembered, because like, I've watched that. That's one of my shows that like, after college, when I was living with my aunt and uncle, I got real big into The Office. And then when I finished that, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And my aunt was like, you should start the Mindy Project. So I did. Loved it. Binged it. Was sad because at that point it was only like two seasons or something. So then I just kept watching those two seasons over and over. Girl, it didn't click. Like, I knew who he was, but it didn't, like, until last night. I'm laying in bed and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, this is such a good show. I love this show. Oh, I love that she crashes her ex's wedding. And I sat there and I was like, I think her ex is Bill Hader. And I like rolled over and I like picked up my phone.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, dude, I watched this when I didn't even have a crush on him, so I didn't even care about him.
Oh my word.
I was so happy last night. So then I like stayed awake for it. I was like, yeah, I want to see her mess up their wedding.
Yeah. Okay.
I was really excited. I love Bill Hader.
I so know you much. Do.
Why? I don't know.
All right, everybody.
I know Barry.
Oh, okay. Just because of that? Did you not like him before that?
Like, I liked him. He's one of the people that I was always like, I'll watch you because you're funny.
Mm-hmm.
But Barry, like, having him be the main character and, like, you follow him the whole time, I was like, wow, something's pulling me to you that's not just, hey, I think you're a good actor. And then at the end of the first season, I was like,
killer?
I'm attracted to you. He's a hitman, yeah, but he's a hitman who's trying to be an actor.
Okay.
He's a hitman who doesn't want to be a hitman anymore. He kind of got thrown into that business for bad reasons and wants out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yep. And now, hate all of his girlfriends. Want to randomly meet him one day.
It's me.
Hi. I'm the problem, it's me.
Oh my gosh, you guys. That should just be our picture. We'll just go out of order.
Okay.
This is what we do before we even start recording. We just chat about everything. But I don't know what else our picture is going to be about. So that's kind of perfect right there.
Okay, well then. I was going to have this be our picture in Aragon. But then I forgot to tell it on the podcast. So guess what? You're hearing about this twice over because I told you and Justin it separately.
Okay, let's
cut it out.
Okay, let's do our intro and then you can tell our story.
Okay.
All right.
Hello.
And welcome
to Off Script. I said the Mr. Fox. The podcast.
Where we compare the books to the movies.
And this week we're doing The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yes. And it's our last one
before our recap.
Yes, we finished season two.
Guys, we did it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was a feat for us.
Oh, I know.
Wow, this actually, like, recording it tonight feels great.
It really does. We're wow. ahead of the game right now. I'm so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Tell me your story.
Yes. Well, you heard it through text and in person, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
Tell my dream.
Okay, go.
Now that we've got it out in the open, guys, I'm obsessed. Okay, I'm not that obsessed. Like, I wouldn't consider myself obsessed with Bill Hader.
Okay.
Am I obsessed with him?
Yeah, not compared to some other stars.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So, but I do find him very attractive. And, like, if I were to meet him, I probably would pull a Bree meeting Rob and not be able to talk to him.
I just don't get it, but okay.
I don't either.
Oh my gosh.
It makes no sense, but I'm here for him. When I first told Nee, because Nee was who I watched Barry with, and I think it was halfway through season two when I was like, I have something really embarrassing to say. And she was like, what? And I was like, I'm really attracted to Bill Hader. And she's like, don't worry, me too. Thank God. Anyways, so like 2 weeks ago now, I have a dream, guys, that I was at this like really cool Hollywood party. And oh, I think I had the dream because I had gotten my new job. I feel like this job is like my next step for my career.
Okay.
And so I was like at this really cool Hollywood party and there were a lot of stars there. And Bill Hader came up to me and started talking to me. And we started talking about Barry, which is one of, like, if you haven't watched this show, you need to go and watch it. It's so good. It's on HBO. And it's hilarious. It's one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. And he writes, directs, and stars in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So triple threat.
Impressive, sir. Yeah. The last season just came out, and I'm kind of bummed that there's only going to be 4 seasons of it. But also, I can go and rewatch them. Yep. Also, NoHo Hank is hilarious. Anyways, I'm getting way off tangent here. Way off. God dang it. I can't talk. Okay.
It's our third episode for the night.
It's okay. Third episode for the night. Bill Hader does this to me. No. So in my dream, we're chatting it up. And then next thing I know, he's like, I'm kind of into you. Do you want a date? And I was like, why? Yes, I do. The dream like progresses, and it's weird because it felt like it was only a few hours, but it had to have progressed more than that time wise.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because of things that happened next. So then we were at like an award ceremony, and my dad was giving a speech, and my dad was embarrassing me because he was basically like giving a speech to everyone in the room about how much he could tell that I liked Bill Hader, because he's like, I've never seen her look at someone like she looks at you or talk about someone. And I had to leave from Bill's side. I was like, cannot. He cannot know this.
Oh, no.
But then, as I was walking away from him, I realized, I was like, I'm about to wake up. Like, somehow, dream me realized that it was a dream. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm about to wake up. Then I was like, oh, I'm going to not be able to contact Bill when I wake up. Like, he doesn't know me. I have to get him my phone number. Because apparently when you get someone your phone number in a dream,
they'll be able to contact you.
Yeah. So then the rest of my dream was me trying to get to Bill to give him my phone number. And I kept getting to him, and I would go to say like, hey, I need to give you my number. But he would like interrupt me and tell me something else about like Barry or something. I'd be like, oh yeah. And like talk about that and be like, wait, no. Then I woke up and he didn't have my number. So he hasn't called me.
Oh,
sad. I was told, because when I worked at the Edgewater, I was talking to one of my desk agents about this crush on him. And I'm kind of a loud person.
Yes.
When I'm in public.
Yes.
And so it was just me and her, and we were talking. And then this family comes up to me and goes, you like Bill Hader? And I'm like, I'm mortified. I'm like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. Like, I don't want to also tell you that I'm into the student. I was like, yeah, kind of. I don't know why. And then they tell me that they actually met him. They met him on a hike.
Wow.
And like, they bumped into him, and he was really sweet. Like, let him take pictures with him. And then they kind of went on their separate ways. And then at the end of the hike, they met up again. and he really liked their dogs, so he kept like talking to them, and then they ended up finishing the hike with him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then that just like sold me on my crush. I was like, oh, he's a nice person, I'm in love.
He likes dogs, check.
We can get, he likes dogs, he likes hikes, I'm there, Bill. Let's do this.
Oh my gosh. Meanwhile, I have dreams that Subway runs off my kid's playset out in the backyard. And then I woke up and I was really sad because all I wanted was their bread and I couldn't go out to my backyard and get their bread.
It's funny, you probably had the dream because of the game your kids was playing with you.
Probably. My kids play this game where I sit on my chair outside and they ride their bikes around in a circle. And they bring me chips and they call it delivery. They're like, here's a chip. I'm like, thank
delivery.
You. I'm like, I'm not opposed to this game. Oh, gosh. Anyways, okay, there's your pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it. Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
Okay, here's our synopsis. The three farmers, Bogus, Bunsen, Beans, are fed up with the foxes stealing all their food. They come up with a way to get rid of the family while the foxes have a different plan. Author Roald Dahl, director Wes Anderson, screenplay writers Wes Anderson and Noah
Baumbach.
Audiobook reader Chris O'Dowd. I had a famous person read the book.
Who's that?
He's from Bridesmaids. And here, I'll show you a picture.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know him.
He was so much fun to listen to. He did such a good job.
Oh, I bet.
Really enjoyed it. I was kind of bummed because it was a
short story.
It was a short story, but it also on the audiobook had like four of his other stories.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of them was read by Hugh Laurie, and I was really hoping that that would have been this one.
Yeah.
But it was not. But that's okay because he did a really good job. It was really fun. A+.
Good job.
Okay. Book came out June 1st, 1970. Movie, November 13th, 2009. That's a 39-year difference.
Dang.
Yep. Which first?
I watched the movie first.
I read the book first. Okay. Was this the first time you read it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
Cool.
Initial thoughts?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah. The book's boring to me.
Oh, well, which one did we choose? I don't know. Stay tuned.
So, like, I think my initial thoughts with the book are, like, could you have given me a little bit more? Like, I feel like it was rushed. It felt like.
I guess. I mean, I didn't feel rushed. But I had a fun audiobook reader, so I felt like it was, like, a movie going on.
Me, it was just me freaking reading it. And I was like, wow, there's like nothing happening, but also things are happening, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And then the book was done. And I was like, okay, cool.
Check. One done. Mm-hmm. Off script.
Yep. Quick and easy book. Great. Let's watch this movie now.
Why'd you pick it?
So when I watched this movie, it was Wes Anderson is just such a great director. But my introduction to him was I started with Moonrise Kingdom, and one of my friends, Amy, she's obsessed with Wes Anderson. And so she owns all of his DVDs, but she has the Criterion collection of his DVDs. And because I watched Moonrise Kingdom for the first time with her, and she was like, oh, did you like that? Well, then let me get you into his other stuff. But she did it in such a way that, like, she didn't give me one of his more difficult films to, like, watch. Mm-hmm. One of his more heavy films. And she gave me Fantastic Mr. Fox. Mm-hmm. I think that was, like, my second or third. I think I might have gotten the Royal Tenenbaums before this one. But it was kind of one of my earlier introductions to Wes Anderson. And I just remembered watching it and loving the movie. And thinking it was one of the best movies I had ever seen. And so, yeah, I'm just giving it away which one I chose. Huh? But I thought it was so fun. And, like, obviously when I watched the movie, I realized it was made from a book. But when we did this podcast, it wasn't like an obvious one for me. And I actually found it in one of my big Google searches. And I was like, oh my gosh, that one has me excited. I cannot wait. But I actually kind of waited to put it on our schedule because I was worried you wouldn't like Wes Anderson's style.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So what is his style?
It's just, it's, how do you, let me Google. Let's see if Google can give me a better way to, is, oh no. Explain. Wes Anderson. There are a few obvious visual elements that define the Wes Anderson style. Ubiquitous symmetry, tableau-style compositions, sparse and deliberate color palettes, and the preference for long takes. So, like, a lot of his takes are one-shots. But, like, I know his stories are always kind of, like, there's a lot to them. And, like, a lot of times this character's going through this and this character's going through this. Kind of like in this movie, where the dad's going through his thing and the kids are going through their thing.
Uh-huh.
But then, like, at the end, it all ties together.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of how his movies are, except for in some of his other movies, there's a bit more characters that you're following.
Okay.
And he's just, he's very dry. And I love Wes. I don't watch any of his movies. I just didn't think you would be into it.
Okay.
So it actually wasn't on our schedule for season two.
Well, look at that.
Yeah.
You're right. It wasn't. If you look at our banner.
Yeah.
It says that we are actually supposed to read Bad Guys, the Bad Guys this week. But
apparently that movie is
it's all 15 the books.
Bad Guys books.
Like, yeah. How did they put all the books in one?
I know, don't know. That movie is really screwed up.
It is wrong. There you go. That's your answer.
I sat there and tried to, I was like, this cannot be right. And I like Googled it like three different ways. I was like, oh, this is right. Okay.
So we are not probably going to do that one. Great movie, though. I really like the movie.
We're going to do it. Just,
oh my gosh. We have to read 15 books for one movie?
15 children's books.
Children's books.
Yes.
Okay, but they're all like 100 pages.
Yes, but once we get ahead of things.
1,500 pages for one movie?
Yes.
What the?
Otherwise, I'm not watching the movie.
It's such a cute movie.
Yeah, so.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. All right. How many are we going to take notes on that? We'll get there when we get there. Goodness me. All right. Well, we got some fun facts. Allie's super fun facts. Okay. Let's do it.
You're so excited.
Yeah. All right, so writer, producer, and director Wes Anderson chose to have the actors and actresses record dialogue outside of a studio, so on location, to increase the naturalness.
Cute.
So we went out into a forest, we went into an attic, we went into a stable, underground for some things. There is great spontaneity in the recordings because of that.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
And because of one of these, during the outside recording sessions, you can hear a boat, and it ruined the best take they had.
Oh, no.
So they turned it into an airplane.
Oh. Isn't there a scene where then Mr. Fox goes, oh, airplane.
Yeah, that's that scene.
That's amazing.
Okay. And so, number two, what is it? Rolled?
Yeah. Rolled.
What's such an interesting name? Roald Dahl's Fantastic Mr. Fox was the first book writer, producer, and director Wes Anderson owned.
Oh.
His mother in Texas bought it for him, and he was about 7, and he has kept the same copy on his bookshelf ever since.
That is so cute.
Isn't that sweet?
Oh.
Okay. All together, there were 535 puppets that were made for this movie. Mr. Fox has 17 different styles alone, and all of his dials had to be in 6 different sizes, so he has 102 puppets for just Mr. Fox.
Holy shit.
Isn't that a lot?
Oh my gosh. When you're watching movies like this, you don't like, I mean, I do because that's what I want to do. But like, if I can turn that part of me off, you don't think about all the work that goes into that style
right.
of animation.
That's too much work.
Yeah.
Speaking of, it took 7 months to perfect
damn
Mr. Fox's puppet.
Wow.
So not only to make it, but to make it how they perfect. Wanted it.
Holy crap.
Yuck. It's too much work. And this was the last movie that used the 20th Century Fox logo from 1994.
Aww. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Then 20th Century Fox was considering making Mr. Fox their their mascot. But they decided not to just because the idea was too similar to a joke The Simpsons once made. So they didn't want The Simpsons to be
to
right.
To predict another thing.
Yes.
Damn it, but that would have been cute.
I know, right?
Yes.
I don't even know what their new logo... I didn't know they had a new one.
Yeah, what?
Legit looks the same. I don't know. Why did they change it? What did they change it to? 20th Century Studios? No.
Oh.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, so almost no change.
Yeah. Hopefully. Just the word. They should have put Mr. Fox.
Okay. Shall we get started?
Let's do it.
Okay, so it kicks off with details about the three farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Bogus Bunts and Beans.
Mm-hmm.
And they explain what they ate and what they grew on their farms and how they're all very mean. And they talked about Mr. and Mrs. Fox and their little family and how Mr. Fox steals food from the farmers. And the farmers want to kill him. And Mr. Bean already knows where he lives.
That happens, but it happens later in the movie because it starts out and you see like Mr. and Mrs. Fox when they're like just together and he's running with her and having her steal stuff with him. But then they get trapped and then she tells him that she's pregnant. She's like, you need to stop this. And she wants him to stop stealing.
Okay, when you read the book,
mm-hmm.
see, but you saw the movie first. Did you think that Farmer Bean was the... like super mean one? He seemed like the dummy one in the book to me. He didn't seem like the ringleader like he did in the movie.
Wow, I just finished this book and I can't remember.
He's like, here, I'll get into it when we get down farther. Okay, so Mr. Fox goes out to get dinner and he sneaks out very slowly and the farmers are hiding behind the trees because they're over it. And he saw a gun and it went off, but he dived back into his hole. And they shot off his tail.
I feel like I should have got us here. Because there's a little bit that happens in the movie before we get to even the story.
Okay, yeah. Okay, do all that.
Yeah, I just realized. I was like, I should probably stop her. Okay. So then, now, Mr. and Mrs. Fox have a little pup or cub. Is it a cub or a pup when they're foxes?
I think it's a kit.
Oh, it's a kit.
I know.
They have a kit.
He called it a cub in the movie. And I'm like, I don't think that's what they're called. I don't know. Here, let me look up.
Okay. So they have one. And Mrs. Fox has asked Mr. Fox to not steal things. So now he is a journalist.
It is called a cub, a kit, or a pup. Good job.
Got them all. Jeez Louise.
Oh my gosh.
A difference here in the movie is that they only have one cub. In the book, they have four. In the movie, at the end, she reveals that she's pregnant again. But for the purpose of the story, that's one of the big differences.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, you also have their kids going through it right now because his cousin comes and is staying with them. And his cousin is basically... perfect kid for Mr. Fox because Mr. Fox is athletic and fun and all this stuff. And the cousin is basically what their kid thinks he should be to be their kid. Except for I love the teenage fox drama in the movie because it gives us some great scenes with the little foxes.
They're so cute.
They really are. But essentially the story in the movie is that Mr. Fox wants to buy this house that's this tree on a hill and he wants to be able to flip it to get money for the family. But because of the location of the house, because it's next to the farms of Bogus Bunsen Beans, it's not ideal property. So he needs to get rid of the farmers so that the property will be great property. So thus starts the, okay, it's time to steal from these guys and make them not okay. And then the story happens. And then basically everything that happens in the book happens in the movie.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Except for, oh my God, how much did you love how they cuss in the movie?
Yes.
Instead of cussing, they say cuss. So they're like, what the cuss? Are you cussing with me? Holy cuss, what was that?
It was actually funny. It was good.
It's so cute.
Okay, so his tail gets shot off. That's where we left off in the book. And the farmers start digging, and the Fox family start crying. And Mr. Fox has the idea that, hey, we dig faster than them. And so they all start digging, and they dug for hours and hours.
Yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The farmers gave up digging, and they were very frustrated at Mr. Bean because it was all his idea. And they ask, well, what's another idea? And he had to, like, fish stuff out of his ear because he never bathed and he's gross. And he comes up with the idea of excavators. And they went and got him. They start digging the foxes out, and the foxes hear it and freak out. They all start digging again. People come and mock the farmers.
I guess, okay, so to answer your question about Mr. Bean, well, first off, you're probably thinking of actual Mr. Bean that everyone loves and knows.
I was not thinking of Mr. Bean.
No. Are you sure? When I read it, there was no one ringleader. But when you put that in the movie, you need a ringleader.
Yeah.
So.
It makes sense. Yeah. I don't know if I would have chose Mr. Bean, but I don't know.
I was going to say, I don't know.
I guess he was the one with the ideas in the book, so yeah. I guess that's why they chose him.
That's exactly why. Okay, yeah. That all happens.
Okay. Farmers ended up giving up because the machines weren't catching the foxes, and they all agreed to starve them out. So they set up camp and waited for them.
Yep, that happens.
The farmers decided that they were going to get all the people that worked on their farms to sit around the bottom of the hill so that the foxes couldn't dig sideways and get out. The foxes were getting very hungry. Mr. Fox finally came up with the idea but it involved more digging. He's like, I don't know if we're strong enough. And the little foxes are like, we're strong enough, Papa Fox. We're strong enough. But Mama was too weak.
So that happens-ish. It's just that there's not four little foxes with them. And at this point, too, like, the whole entire community of all the different animals are helping dig. Oh, wait. No. They come in at the right time. Yeah, never mind.
They do.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so they started digging until they reached some wood. And it turns out it was a chicken house. And they grabbed some chickens for Mama to start making a feast. And they put the floorboards back so no one would know.
Oh, no. The difference is the badger. The badger comes right now. Yeah. To start helping.
I think so.
Yeah. It's the badger, him, and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that's also different with everything you're about to say right now is instead of stealing just like one thing, they ended up taking up like everything.
They took the whole thing. Yes.
I did love the scenes where they like are dancing in the farms before yes. they're stealing.
I was like, okay.
Okay.
And so Mama Fox is basically dead. I really thought she was going to be dead. The little babies come back and like, she's like, I was like, oh my gosh. But no.
What kind of a kid's book are you reading?
Well,
it's not Disney.
The fox's tail got blown off. So who knows? But as soon as she smells that chicken, she's like, ah. She wakes up and she starts cooking and getting ready. And Mr. Fox continues to dig into a different area. And this is when he runs into Badger.
Mm-hmm.
And Badger let him know that all the underground animals are starving because the farmers are camping out. Mr. Fox feels so bad. He's like, this is all my fault. Let me show you something. And he tells him about the chicken house.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
They continue digging and they got to the farmer's store. This is another farmer. So the first farmer Bogus. Now they're at Bunce's store. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different foods. They grabbed stuff for the feast and they grabbed it for all the families. Mm-hmm. Because the cute little baby raccoon fox is like, we need to grab carrots. He's like, we don't eat carrots. He's like, but the rabbits do. He's like, oh, you're such
good
a
thinking.
Such a good son. So considerate. And they continue to dig to...
There's a difference here, actually. Okay. Because Mr. Fox is the one who says to grab the carrots.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. They continue to dig to Farmer Bean's area. And Badger is like, don't you feel bad for stealing? Mr. Fox is like, no, he was trying to starve and kill my family. I'm not going to kill him. He's like, ah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And they reached a stone wall. Mm-hmm. Mr. Fox loosens a stone and Rat is there and begins to yell at them to get away. Mm-hmm. And the youngest fox wants turkeys, but Mr. Fox is like, no, this is perfect. And they got a bunch of cider, which is exactly what they needed for their feast.
I just realized, I think I might have recast the rat without realizing it.
Oh.
Because when I read it, I really like imagined Steve Buscemi for the rat.
Oh my gosh, I could see it.
Right? And I was like, oh, that's obviously who they cast. And then it was Willem Dafoe. And I love him too. But like, Willem's got such a deeper voice than what I was imagining for the rat.
I'm on board with your recast.
I know. I only just now realized. I was like, wait a minute. I think
you're a little ahead of our podcast order.
I know. Sorry.
That's okay. So Rat is super drunk on the cider. And a woman comes down to the cellar. I think it was Farmer Bean's wife.
What's funny is when I read it as like a maid or like a help in the house.
I think I did too. So I think that was
in the
different.
Movie, it was the wife. Yeah. I also liked in the movie that they made the rat like security for the bean cider cellar. I thought that was cute.
So a woman came down and she almost caught all the animals. They were hiding behind a row of bottles and she was slowly taking the bottles, but stopped just in time. And the foxes took the bottles back to the family feast. And Rat yells, never come back.
In the movie, they get real drunk before they take the cider back.
They were also, the rat was like bigger than the fox.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a freaking huge rat. Holy crap. Anyways, the whole family foxes. The whole
well
fox.
My favorite thing too at the end of the movie when they're in the store and the foxes are like this big in the store, so you kind of have to realize the scale of the movie here.
The whole fox family hosted a feast and everyone honored Mr. Fox, and they all spoke about how they can not leave underground anymore. Mr. Fox came up with this idea to make an underground village and they can just sneak over and get all the food they want. And rumor has it that the farmers are still waiting at that hole until this day.
Yes.
The end.
So then the movie obviously has a little bit more drama going on, because also Mr. Fox's son, to prove that he's worthy of being the son, he actually wants to get Mr. Fox's tail back. So then that storyline plays out too, and so like him and his cousin try to go and get the tail, but then the cousin gets trapped. So then the rest of the story is them like trying to save the cousin. And so they found basically a sewer system, and that's their little underground town that they now turn into their home. But because at the start of the movie, Mrs. Fox has asked Mr. Fox to stop stealing and thieving, and now he got him into this mess because he's stolen and thieved, she then is basically like, you need to fix this. This is on you. And he's like, yeah, sure. So then he pretends like, well, he doesn't pretend. He wants to go and wave a white flag of truce to the farmers. But then he comes up with an idea and he's like, no, wait, we're going to just save him. So then they go and they save him and then bring him back. And then at the very end of the movie, they're like, we don't know what we're going to do for food. Like, we can't keep stealing from these guys because they're just going to keep coming after us if we do. And Mr. Fox is like, oh, don't worry, I've found something. And then he runs and takes them to a grocery store.
Yeah. Yep.
That's it.
Cool. That was it.
We did it, guys. Look at how quick and short. Okay.
IMDb cast 30 people.
Yes.
And all very, very famous people.
Yeah. No, Wes Anderson always has very famous people. Wes Anderson, I'll also tell you like his people as we go.
Okay.
I'll just be like, because Wes Anderson, typically, once you see them in one of his movies, they're in all of them.
So it's like Adam Sandler, always using his
fave. Basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got George Clooney as Mr. Fox.
Fantastic. I love him as Mr. Fox. He's so great at that role.
I liked him. He did good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meryl Streep played Mrs. Fox.
So going into this, for some reason, I thought Julia Roberts was Mrs. Fox, but I don't think, I don't know. I could see it, but also I like Meryl Streep as Mrs. Fox too.
Yeah, I liked her.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even sound like herself to me.
No. Yeah.
Oh no. Okay. Jason Schwartzman.
Sweet.
Played Ash, which was their baby.
He's one of the ones who's always in Wes Anderson's.
Okay.
He did great. I thought he played Ash great.
Yes. I say baby, but he's a teenage fox.
Teenage fox, yeah.
Bill Murray played Bill Murray, apparently. He played the Badger.
Bill Murray is another Wes favorite. He was fantastic. Bill Murray is actually the one actor who is in every single Wes Anderson film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did great.
Wolodarski?
I like him.
Wolodarski?
Sure.
Played Kylie, which was their...
opossum.
Opossum friend.
Yeah, that Mr. Fox gets...
roped into all his mischief.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I love the possum. He's so great.
He's good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Eric Chase Anderson played... Oh, is it a relation?
Oh, I don't know.
Played Christofferson, which is the cousin fox.
I liked him. He played it very well.
He was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Brother of
Wes.
Yep.
I love that. That's cute.
Michael Gambon played
I didn't Franklin even know Bean. That.
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore played a jerk.
It was mean. Yep.
Yeah, he did good.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Willem Dafoe played the rat.
Like I said, apparently I recast him for Steve Buscemi.
Okay. And Owen Wilson played Coach Skip.
He's another one.
Wes.
Yeah. I think he did great. I also almost think that Wes made this part just to cast Owen in something for this.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was not needed at all in that movie.
No, no. And his scene was like a split second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was in it.
Yeah.
And Wes Anderson himself played the weasel.
I think it's great that he was in this movie.
I think it's fun. Yeah.
Is the theme of the book and the movie the same? Yes.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, very loosely.
I was going to say, Fox steals from farmers is the theme of the movie or the book.
And farmers don't like it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the basic theme of the movie.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fair.
Do the characters stay true to the movie, how they were written in the book?
I mean, they didn't really have personalities in the book.
Yep.
So
I would say yes.
Okay. Which you prefer?
I prefer the movie. Hands down. Shock, right?
I like the book.
I knew you were going to when you were surprised.
When I was surprised about what?
That I was like, what was it? It was early. I can't remember. But basically something that I said about the book and your reaction to it. I was like, oh, she likes the book.
I just thought it was like, it was very simple. Like,
I don't like simple books. Give me depth and detail.
For a children's book, I would like a simple book. Like, if I went into it knowing children's book, I was like,
hey,
simple.
I'm ready to read 1,500 pages for a children's movie.
You are. But no, I just thought, I mean, the movie was fun. But, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. It was very interesting. It was like, I found it interesting how the music was used, mm-hmm. where it was like very rare. So it's like scenes where like you would think there should be music going and it's like silence. I was like, this kind of seems,
quack, quack.
Yeah. I was like, this kind of seems awkward. And then the
some
very
point in Dynamite.
Yes. Yes. So it wasn't bad. It was just different.
I know you said you were gonna have your kids watch it with you, and I was like, I don't know if they'll like it, but okay.
They sat through the whole thing. Hey. So and then
did they like it?
I don't know about that. And then what else? Oh yeah, the very dry humor. Mm-hmm. And then the very like almost dry acting where it was good. Like there wasn't a whole bunch of emotions. Yeah. It was like they read the lines and that was it.
Yeah.
And it was a very interesting watch.
That's Wes Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm gonna make you watch Moonrise Kingdom.
Okay.
Because I stayed away from Wes for so long. I was like, he's overrated. And then never I watched even that heard one. Of him. You probably have.
Probably. I don't do directors.
As all of his movies have come out and people have been like, I love him. But yeah, I thought he was overrated. And then I watched that one and I was like, oh, he's overrated for a reason.
Oh, okay.
And then I watched this one and I was like, oh, yeah, that's actually, I think, how we did it. We did Moonrise Kingdom, this one, and then the Royal Tenenbaums. Because Royal Tenenbaums is like his, that's his iconic movie that everyone knows and loves.
Okay.
But it's a little bit, that story, there's a lot going on.
Okay.
So we waited a little bit to get me into it. And I was like, you know, that's the one that I want to watch. And that's the one that I own. Oh, wait, I own Moonrise Kingdom too.
Okay.
Just not this one. And shocking. This one's my favorite.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was all it. Right. Yeah. Guys, this is almost the end of season two. This is the end bookwise of season two.
It is.
We're about to be on season three.
My gosh. We have one more minisode for season two.
Yeah.
And then we have our recap.
Yeah.
Talk about anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Season two.
Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah. It's been fun.
We got these on. Can I talk right now? No. We're ending on two short ones for you.
Not really. Aragon was in between them.
Oh, shit. Yeah. We just recorded the two short ones back to back, guys.
Oh, man. Maybe season three will be more professional.
No.
Nah.
You should know us better by now.
Yes. So get in any, except that by the time this comes out, we'll have already recorded it. I was going to say, get in any, hey, you guys missed this. And maybe we'll talk about it in the recap, but sorry. We'll have already recorded it.
Yeah. You'll already have heard about this too, but we're recording it at a remote location called Island Books.
Mm-hmm.
In Mercer Island. And we're actually super, super excited about that.
Yes,
but
it should be fun.
Yeah, we're doing that on the 27th.
Oh, well, it was fun. Let's pretend.
Yeah, it was a blast. It was so good. We had a good time. It's such a cute little store.
Yes.
And I bought a book there.
Oh, did you now? What book did you buy?
I'm hoping it's Practical Magic for us. If not, it's the next one that I don't have for us. When we do these remote recordings, my goal is to buy a book from these little local bookshops. And ideally, what I want to do is buy a book for off script that I don't have that I want to get mm-hmm. for the podcast.
So I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to hear if it worked.
Yeah. It's either going to be Practical Magic or Amityville Horror.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't look for that the last time.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. All right.
Yeah.
All right, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you subscribed, rate, and reviewed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast. See you next time!
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romantasy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze
for Book Tales.